nice mission in the beginning passage of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lama Beit Van Aleph, but also because an opportunity to discuss Malchus Zechonos and Shofros and understand the structure of Malchus Zechonos and Shofros. Many people, even people who know about davening and learning, many people have trouble understanding exactly what's going on in Malchus Zechonos and Shofros, and once we go through it, hopefully this will clarify for you if you're one of those people who has trouble. I know I always like to point out that many people, I said this in high school, I've said this to adults, many people, probably all of us here, have had the experience at one time or another during davening on Rosh Hashanah and in Yom Kippur of having your machzor in front of you and then opening up and saying, let's see, now we're on page 312, it ends on 488, so that's 150, you know, trying to calculate how many pages are left and what time it is now, what time we're going to finish, right? We've all done that at one time or another. And as I said, one of the great revelations I ever had when I was younger, I did this when I realized, wait a minute, half the pages in English. I don't say those, so it's really, you can divide the number in half. But in any event, when you understand what's going on, it makes it that much more meaningful, so we'll try and do that to hit today, Be'ez Hashem. Utilizing, again, the Rav's beer of this mission, Gemara Lamed Beis Van Aleph Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says, Seder Brachas, here's the order of the Brachas, and we're talking, of course, as the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it's talking about the davening on Rosh Hashanah. Now, I'll stress right at the outset that our practice is to apply what it says in this Mishnah only to Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Not Ma'ariv, not Shacharis, not Mincha. Okay? Even though it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah never says that this is only talking about Musaf. That's our practice. There is a sheet in Rishon, and the Baal HaMor seems to have the opinion that the expanded Shmoneh Esrei, which includes Malchus and Shofros, is applicable not only on Musaf Rosh Hashanah, but also all the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. Why would you say otherwise? It doesn't say so in the Mishnah, anything different. But in any event, that's not our practice. Our practice only by Musaf. And let's begin by noting that every time you say a Shmoneh Esrei, every Shmoneh Esrei has in common. It doesn't matter when, what, Shabbos, Yom Tov, weekday, summer, winter, whatever it is. Every Shmoneh Esrei has basically the same first three brachas and the same last three brachas. Right? I mean, there are adjustments, and sometimes you add Mashu Mordech Geshem, or you add Yalav Yavo, or Lanis, but basically the first three brachas and the last three brachas are pretty much constants in every Shmoneh Esrei. Right? So the first three brachas, the bracha of Avos, which initially identified by name, I'll introduce it now. First bracha is called Avos. It begins, Elokeinu, Elokeinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and etc. It ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. That's the first bracha called Avos. Second bracha is called Guros. Begins, Ato Gibor, right? Guros. Sometimes it's called Guros Geshamim because it includes Mashu Mechon Geshem during the wintertime. And that ends, Mechaya HaMesim. And the third bracha is called Kedushas Hashem, Ato Kadosh, Bishimcha Kadosh, Baruch Atah Hashem, Akela Kadosh. Those are the first three brachas. Again, sometimes you make adjustments within those brachas, but basically, that's the first three brachas standard for every Shmoneh Esrei. Same thing with the last three brachas. The last three brachas begins Ritzei, right? Ritzei Hashanah Kenem Amchei Yisrael V'Zosam. That bracha is nicknamed Avoda, V'Hashem V'Ez V'Avoda, V'Ver Be'Secha, right? And Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMachzir Shinosu L'Tzion. That's the first of the last three brachas, Ritzei. The next one is called Hoda'a, begins Modim, Modim Anachloch, Hoda'a, thanks. I think the article said it actually labeled before each paragraph, the name of the title of the bracha. So it begins Modim, Modim Anachloch, etc. And ends Baruch Atah Hashem, Atov Shimcha, Ulochon Elohodos. And the last bracha is the bracha of Shalom. This Mishnah refers to it as Birchas Konim, because Birchas Konim sort of introduces that bracha when we have Birchas Konim. I was just in Eretz Yisrael, so you have Birchas Konim every day there in most places. And so right after the Kohanim say, Yosem Chol Shalom, right away, Sim Shalom to fact the Kohanim, the minig is, anybody hear a Konim? Who is a Kohen? Nobody? Ain't Kohen Kohen. Oh, okay. You ask a Kohen, you'll notice, if you pay attention, after Dukharim, the Kohanim don't, they're facing the Tzibur, right? Instead of Yosem Lechol Shalom, they don't turn around until the Chazan says the word Sim Shalom, which is usually right away. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a big time lapse. But in any event, that's part of it. That's sometimes Brachos called Birchas Kohanim, sometimes called Sim Shalom, or among many Ashkenazim, we say Shalom Rav, et Mincha, et Ma'ariv. But basically, that's your structure. That ends Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Shalom. And the extra paper is right over there. And that's the structure of your basic Shmoneh Esrei. On a weekday, on a regular weekday, again, no matter when, during the course of the year, on a regular weekday, you have an additional 13 brachos in between those original first three and those common first three and the common last three. Right? You have 13 brachos. All requests for different things, both personal needs, atachon el avdas, rufayin arshon erofa, etc., and communal needs, v'lishlayim yichol barachim toshuv, and so on, and it ends with shema koleinu, barachat Hashem shomei tefillah. As you well know, there used to be 12 brachas in the middle, according to the simple way of reading the Gemara. In brachas, there used to be 12 such brachas in the middle, that later on, the birchas aminim was added, make a 13 for a grand total of 3 at the beginning, 3 at the end, 13 in the middle, a grand total of 19 brachas. Why do we call it the Shmoneh Esrei? Because there used to be 18 brachas, and the name stuck. That's in English too. We find certain things, and once you gave it that name stuck, even when it wasn't relevant anymore. The original people who made strips to cover a cut in your hand was a Band-Aid. That's a company name. But everybody refers to it as a Band-Aid, even if it's made by a different company, not by Band-Aid, right? When I was growing up, the people referred to a refrigerator as a Frigidaire. Maybe your grandparents called it a Frigidaire. That's a company name. Or Xerox. Xerox became a verb. Now, Xerox is a company name. It became a verb. Go Xerox this for me. Again, today we don't have those kinds of machines. When I was growing up, and you know, we had to have email or whatever. You wanted to photocopy somebody's notes, you went to a Xerox machine. They still had it, right, in the library, right? It's used for the printing machine. But in those days, you used to put them, copy it. People still do it. And it used to be called the Xerox machine, even if it was manufactured by a different company, not by Xerox. Okay, anyway, so the same thing. We'll have the nickname, Shmona Esrei, stuck, even though it was originally 18 brachas, now it's 19, Shmona Esrei. That's a weekday. Shabbos, of course, we have the same standard first three, the same standard last three, like usual. But in the middle, instead of all the brachas that are requests, we have none of those are said. People make a mistake. It's not usher to recite those on Shabbos. It's not forbidden to recite them. It's just that we don't want to recite them on Shabbos because those are personal needs, tirdas, things that we're bothered by and troubled by. So Shabbos, we want to be in a different frame of mind. The halacha, by the way, is, that's what I'm about to just prove as a side point, that it's mutter to say those brachas on Shabbos. The person, by mistake, sometimes, it probably happened to many of us also, especially Friday night, you have to sleep. So after the Kela Kodesh, started to say Atachana Ramdaz, and then whenever you realize it, sometimes you realize when you start, you know, you start saying bang at the slachlan, and then you have to sort of straighten out your jacket, pretend you're scratching yourself. Nobody should think of, right? But sometimes people make a mistake. So what you're supposed to do, the halacha, as you may know, is to finish that bracha. Because that's a bracha. So you start saying atachana adas, and realize, no, don't stop, except for Musaf, different story, because there is no Musaf on weekdays. Then finish bracha Hashem chanan adas, or whatever bracha you're in the middle of, and then go back to whatever the Shabbos Nusach is. But in any event, the Shabbos in the middle, you don't say those 13 middle brachas. You omit those brachas. Instead, we say one bracha, which is nicknamed Kiddushas Hayom. Speaks about the sanctity, the importance of Shabbos, and it varies from Ma'ariv to Shachris to Mincha. What do we say? Ato Kiddushas Yom Hashvi, Yismach Moshe, Ato Echad Hashim Chacham, all themes relating to Shabbos. And the concluding paragraph is the same by all the tefillos of Shabbos. El Kenel Kevaseinu Ritzei V'Nuchaseinu Kachen V'Sechem V'Achileinu Shal Kenel B'Avo Rotzon Shabbos Kachecha Yenuchu Vo Vo Avam Shabbos Kachecha Avam Chisvo Mekadosh Shemecha Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Shabbos. That whole bracha is called Kedushas Hayom. A few paragraphs, a longer bracha, but still not. It's only one bracha. So therefore, on Shabbos, they have seven brachas instead of the 19 in the Shmoneh Esrei. And the same is true of Yontif. Shalos Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Instead, in the middle, you have that bracha Kedushas Hayom. Starts Atav Chartanu Mikol Amim, etc. Vatiten Lano Shemachenu Es Yom, whatever it is, Yom Chag Hamatzah, Yom Chag Sukkot, whatever Yom Tov is, and it ends again. Alkenu Laseinu. Was again on Yom Tov, not Ritzei Laseinu, but Kachenu Vasecha, etc. Samchenu and so on and so forth. You know. That, or if it's Yom Kippur, it's Mekadesh, we have a little longer text, Mekadesh over Yom Kippurim, Rosh Hashanah, Mekadesh over Yom Zikon, Rosh Chodesh, at Musaf, Mekadesh over Rosh Chodoshim. Anyway, that's all that middle bracha called Kedushas Hayom. Again, seven brachas. Comes Rosh Hashanah, we have an institution based on this Mishnah that we have to incorporate three additional themes, and again, I mentioned as Machlokes Hashanah, we assume only talking about Musaf. So let's say Ma'ariv Rosh Hashanah night, Shachris Rosh Hashanah morning, and Mincha Rosh Hashanah afternoon is the same standard first three, last three in the middle, Kedushas Hayom. There's no Malchus on Rosh Hashanah. Again, the Kedusha Yom Bracha on Rosh Hashanah is Vatitan on Rosh Hashanah Kenes, Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, Yom Truah Mikra Kodesh, right? And it ends Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael, the Yom HaZikaron, right? You all know what I'm referring to, right? I mean, this is all obvious. Good. Now, on Rosh Hashanah at Musaf, we have to add Malchus and Chos and Shofas. And that's what this Mishnah is talking about. So let's read the Mishnah inside. Say their brachas. Here's the order of brachas, Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Right? Omer Avos. Good, that we just explained, right? The first bracha is Avos, same as always. Ugvuro, second bracha, Gvuros. Ukdush Hashem, the third bracha. Now, the Kolel Malchios Imahen. The extra added bracha called Malchios is incorporated into Kedushas Hashem. Okay, according to this opinion, which we'll see shortly, is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, one of the Tanaim. Right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that the bracha of Malchios on Rosh Hashanah at Musaf was incorporated into the text of Kedushas Hashem. Kedusha Hashem is usually a short bracha. Ato Kadosh, Shema Kadosh, Ukdosh, Shema Chol Yom, Osel, Bracha to Hashem, Hokela Kadosh. Oh, we say Melech HaKadosh, but it's a short bracha. According to this opinion, it's a much expanded bracha. Malchios is incorporated into that. Okay, good. That's his opinion. Ve'eno Tokeya, but do not blow shofar after that bracha. Good. Now, continues the Mishnah, you say Kedushas Hayom. And since it's Musaf, then Kedusha Hayom at Musaf is longer than the Kedusha Hayom at Ma'ariv Shachris and Mincha, because if you recall, of course, and same thing on Shabbos, the Kedushas Hayom at Musaf includes the Karbonos. Right? On Shabbos, you don't say Mechatainu, but you do mention the Bracha, right? The Yom HaShabbos, the text of the Karbonos, the Pesukim. Yom HaShabbos, Shnei Chavosim, etc. And on Yom Tov, you mention whatever it is. It's Pesach, Chamishos, Yom Lachor, etc. You say whatever the Karbonos are. Okay, that's included in the Kedushas Hayom. Brachat Musaf, same on Rosh Hashanah. You mentioned the Karbonos of Rosh Hashanah, the Psukim from Parshas Pinchas, and you say, Omin Chasum in Iskem Kimidubar, Shoshas Amapar, etc., etc., right? Anyway, that's the Kedush Hayom, Vitokea, after which you blow shofar, according to this opinion. Good. As you know, we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the Shemoneh Esrei. Some people do it both in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei and in the Chazor Shashat. Those who daven the Sfar, the Chassidim, I think the Sfaradim, Edot HaMizrach, also blow shofar in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei as well as in the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei. The more standard Minig Ashkenaz is we blow not in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei, but in the Chazor Shashat. And later on, we have extra kolos to round everything off to 100. We have to make up more for Ashkenazim, right? I don't know how many people say in daven shul they say in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei. You've been there, right? So there is such a thing. Do it in the that's right. Right. So by the Chassidim also like that. They blow in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei as well. Rav Soloveitchik thought that was more correct, if I'm not mistaken. In Boston, they still blow in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei as well. In his shul, most Ashkenazim do not. We blow only in the Chazor Hashatz. But anyway, in any event, but you blow. So anyway, according to Rabbi Yochanan Menuhin, this opinion, you do not blow shofar after Kedushas Hashem. Ato Kadosh / Malchus, you do blow shofar after Kedush Hayom, Vitokeya. Zichronos, then you say Zichronos, Vitokeya, and you blow shofar after Zichronos. And finally, Shofros, Vitokeya. Then you say the appended bracha called Shofros, Vitokeya, and you blow the shofar. And then, V'omer, Avoda, V'hodo, V'chizkonim, Divir V'yachim. Now you round off the rest of Shemoneh Esrei with the same usual last three brachas. Again, we made inserts, Uchsov, L'chaim, Tov, Kobun, Evisecha, Sefer Chaim, but I'm saying the basic text of the bracha is the same. This is all Divrei Yochanan Menuhin. Okay, everyone clear? So you have altogether how many brachas? 9. The first two are usual. The third one is usual, but Malchios is incorporated within it. Then you say Kedush Hayom like any other Musaf on any other Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then Zichronos, then Shofars, then the last three. Okay, comes along Rabbi Akiva. I'm Rabbi Akiva, the first wide line. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Im Eina Tokela Malchios Lama Humaskir. According to what Rabbi Yochanan Menuhin said, there is no Tekiyah Shofar following Malchios. Right? Look back at what he said. He said, you say Avos, then Gruas, then you put Malchios together with Kedushas Hashem, but do not blow Shofar. You blow Shofar after Kedushas Hayom, after Zichronos, and after Shofars, but no Tekiyah Shofar after Malchios. Again, the Mishnah is not clear, and that's why there are two men arguing whether the Tekiyah Shofar is only in the Chazor HaShatz, or also in the Salish Shemoneh Esrei. The Mishnah says, whatever you do it, okay, but according to Rabbi Yochanan Menuhin, there is no Tekiyah Shofar following Malchus. It says, if you're not going to blow shofar in association with Malchus, so what are you saying Malchus for altogether? Apparently, Bekiva is of the opinion that Malchus needs, just like Zichronos and shofars, there has to be Tekiyah Shofar associated with Malchus as well. Bekiva says, according to you, there's no Tekiyah Shofar after Malchus. So what are you saying Malchus for? That's his question. Ella, rather, here's my opinion, and this is how we pass him. Ella, Omer Avos, Ugvaros, Ukadushas Hashem. The first three brachas remain like always. There's Avos, Gruzka, Hashem. Then, the Kolel Malchus in Kedushas Hayom. According to Rabbi Akiva, Malchus is included with Kedushas Hayom. Not with Kedushas Hashem, not with Atta Kadosh, like Rabbi Yochanan Menuhin said, but rather with the next bracha, the bracha of Atta V'chartanu and Mpnei Chata'enu and so on. That's where Malchus is inserted. Kolel Malchus in Kedushas Hashem. Okay? I'm sorry, Kedush Hayom, Kol Malchus Kedush Hayom, Vitokeya, and you blow Shofar after that, Zichronos Vitokeya, Shofros Vitokeya, okay, then you have Zichronos Tekiyah Shofar, Shofros Tekiyah Shofar, then Va'omer Avoda Vado, Bechas Konim, end of Mishnah. Then you finish the last three brothers. So it emerges that there's actually a two-pronged, or a dual machlokas between the Kimer and Nuri. One, is where you incorporate Malchios. The opinion of Reuven ben Nuri is that Malchios was incorporated into Kedushas Hashem, the third bracha, and according to Bekiva, Malchios is incorporated into Kedushas Hayom, okay, the fourth bracha. That's bracha Malchios number one. Machlokas number two is Malchios get accompanied by Tekiah Shofar? According to Reuven ben Nuri, there is no Tekiah Shofar with Malchios. According to Bekiva, there is Malchios. There's Tekiah Shofar with Malchios. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. We paskin like. Rabbi Akiva, you'll see Bez Hashem Monday and Tuesday, that's exactly what we do like Rabbi Akiva. However, there's an interesting thing which I'm just going to point out because the Rav mentioned this. The Rav had, Rav Soloveitchik had an uncle named Rabbi Menachem Krakowski. Menachem Krakowski, Rav Soloveitchik grew up in a town in White Russia called Chaslavich, where his father, Rav Meisher Soloveitchik, was also a Rosh Yeshiva here in YU, died in 1941. Rav Yashaber Soloveitchik, the Rav took over from his father in 1941, but before that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was here as Rosh Hashiva for a number of years. Anyway, he was previously in Europe, the rabbi in a city called Chaslavitz, somewhere in Russia, and Rav Menachem Krakowski, who was an uncle, was the previous rabbi in Chaslavitz. The rabbi sometimes writes about growing up in Chaslavitz. That's where he grew up as a little boy. Anyway, his uncle, Rav Menachem Krakowski, there is a sefer called Avodas HaMelech that's available. It's even in the Bar Ilan suit. Avodas HaMelech on the Rambam, I think it's just on the first two, I think just on Madan Ava is all we have. I don't know if he wrote more and it was lost or he never wrote more, but it's available. I think Moshe Rav Kook published it recently. It's called Avodas HaMelech. Anyway, I don't think this what I'm about to tell you appears in Avodas HaMelech. This is something the Rav told over in the name of his uncle. He said, you know, even the way we paskin that the first three brachas are left alone, right? Kedushas Hashem does not have Malchios. But you'll recall, and if you didn't think of it right now, you'll realize it immediately when you start davening Maariv on Sunday night, Leil Rosh Hashanah, you'll realize that we say, Atar Kodesh, Yer Kodesh, V'Kodesh, V'Kodesh, then we say, U'V'chein Tein Pachtecha, U'V'chein Tein Kavod, remember what I'm talking about, we have all these little paragraphs, with Simlo, all that added stuff, and we end Baruch Hashanah Melech Kodesh, what in the world is that? So this Menachem Krakowski proposed that was, in effect, a holdover from the Shita, if you think about it, what's the theme of all those U'V'chein Tein Malchus, the similar of it ends, talks that, you know, that everyone will see, that the tzaddikim will rejoice, the tzaddikim will be smocho, and so on, right? And the wicked will be quiet, the chol harishah kula koshon tichla, kisabim shalzerom in art, the similar of it, you know, and so on and so forth. So, Rabbi Nachman Krakowski proposed that was the Malchios, or at least the introduction of Malchios, and the old nusuch of those who followed Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Nuri, that was a holdover that remained. Of course, it remained not only at Musaf, but we have it at Mincha Maariv and Shachar as well. We also have it at Yom Kippur. So it's questionable, but anyway, just a proposal. But we should just bear in mind that even according to what we paskin, Atar Kadosh is expanded to include something else, but not what Rabbi Akiva calls Malchus and no Tekiah Shofar. So one question that the Rav addressed, again, parenthetically for us, is an interesting question, because it seems to be what everybody agrees is that Malchus is combined with something. Just a Machokus, what is Malchus combined with? According to Yechon Nuri, it's combined with Kutsa Shein. According to Akiva, it's combined with Kutsa Yom, but it's combined with something. Actually, in the Gemara, there is a sheet. We look to the next Mishnah, a few lines up from the next Mishnah. Look down, see the next Mishnah? See that? Go up four lines to Rishon Gamliel Omer. Rishon Gamliel had a different sheet, a third sheet. Again, it's not in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Kedushas Hayom Im Hazichronos. He did not combine Malchus with anything. He followed the Akiva insofar as the first three brachas remained constant. Then Malchios stood on its own, and then Kedushas Hayom was combined with Zichronos. And his svara was, because if you think about it, Kedushas Hayom is always the middle bracha. There are seven brachas on Shabbos and Yom. Kedushas Hayom is always the middle. So he said, here you're going to have nine brachas, which should be the middle one, the fifth one. The middle one is Zichronos. So he combined Kedushas Hayom, and I'm going to ask you, I remember I used to teach many years ago, I taught in the Yeshiva High School in Deal by the Syrians, okay, and I was looking at discussing one of the Rebbeim there, the Machzor and so on, is very, very different in many ways, in a lot of ways, in ours, Ashkenazim, but I found that we never say Yalav Yovo at Musaf. You ever notice that? We never say Yalav Yovo at Musaf. Yalav Yovo is always Mincha, Amayrib Shachris and Mincha. Okay, never. However, at least by the Syrians, I don't know if it's by you, that they would, on Rosh Hashanah, they said Yalav Yovo in Musaf in Zichronos. You know that? Check it out, the curious you are. Yeah. You don't remember. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was all. Look, among the Sardin, there are different minhagim too, just like among the Ashkenazim, there are different groups. Just because they. Syrians have a lot of different things. Yeah.
No, it's usually unanimous.
Oh, on that kind of thing? Yeah. Okay, good. I'll be curious to hear. But that's what I remember finding out then. I thought maybe that was a holdover from Shurim Gamliel Shita. Because Yalav Yavo is Kinsayom, right? It's about Yom Zikronos there, whatever the holiday is, right? So that somehow in Zikronos they put in Yalav Yavo, which generally is not done. So let me know if you get a chance if that's your minig as well. In any event, so even now throwing of Shurim Gamliel into the mix, everybody agrees that something is combined with something, right? And our Mishnah, Yochanan Nuri combines Malchus with Kedushas Hashem. Mekiva combines Malchus with Zayom. Shurim Gamliel doesn't combine Malchus with anything. He combines Zichronos with Dusayom, but they all agree. So they all agree that what's the grand total number of brachas in this Shmoneh Esrei? 9, right? So Rabbi asked a very simple question. Why does anybody have to combine anything with anything? Why not just make Kedusha Yom as a separate bracha, Malchus Zichron Shofar as a separate bracha, and have a total of 10 brachas in this Shmoneh Esrei? Again, the first three usual ones, the last three usual ones, then you have to have Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars, each one its own bracha. And then, because it's Yantif, you have to say Kedusha Yom. So we're trying to combine this with that, or that with this. Why combine anything with anything? Why not just say what? So there'll be 10 brachas in this one Esrei. Understand the question? It's a pretty logical question. The given in our Mishnah, and you throw in the Bryce with the Shimon Gamliel, the given is that we can only have 9 available slots. We got to get 10 themes into those 9 slots. So something's got to be combined with something. Machlokas, what's combined with what? The Rav pointed out, based on a Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara wonders when the Chazal instituted 18 Brachas in the Shmoneh Esrei. Remember this Gemara? The Gemara says, where does the 18 come from? I'm sure you all learned this. Right? Where does the 18 come from? So if that 18 is in the Mizmor of David, it says the name of Hashem 18 times. In other words, we also have to fall back on the on the rule that Tikkun Rabbanan came to Raisa Tikkun, right? The Chachamim didn't just make things up out of left field. They always wanted to have a basis in Torah Shebichsav. So here we have a Kapitel Tillim that is 18 times the name of Hashem. So we have a precedent for 18 utterances, 18 brachas, so to speak. That's the Gemara. And then when they added the 19th, they fetched another one, right? And the Gemara also asks, and where does the 7 brachas of Shabbos and Yontav come? They're different. Then they asked in that Gemara, where does the 9 brachas of Rosh Hashanah come? I don't remember Gemara's answer there. From 9 times the Shem Hashem in the Tefillah of Chana, which is not at all incidental to Rosh Hashanah. Because as you know, Chana was one of the barren women who was Nifkad of Rosh Hashanah, and that in fact is the Haftarah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Right? The Haftarah, those remember the Haftarah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, comes from Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, right? The whole story with originally Chana couldn't have children, and she went to Eli and started to die. Eli was the Kohen at that time in Shiloh, and she started to dive into herself, and he thought she was drunk, right? You all know the story. And eventually she had the baby, Shmuel, right? So and then she said a tefillah. So the very end of the Haftarah is a tefillah of Chana. So Chana said in her tefillah 9 times the name of Hashem. So the Gemara there in Shabbos says that's where the 9 brachas, a 9 brachas Shmoneh Esrei has a precedent in Tfilas Chana. And again, it's not Stam, an incidental precedent. It's connected to Rosh Hashanah. Again, it's the Haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So, evidently, now the Rav suggested that based on that Gemara, apparently there's a tradition that we want to connect our Tfilas, and in general, by the way, you probably remember this from Brachas too, the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph, a lot of the things we do in our davening is based on what Chana did. Remember that Gemara in Einom, that Chana, you know, we learned, because Kama Hilchasa Gevarta, we learned numerous halachas from Chana. So it's not incidental, but it's especially relevant on Rosh Hashanah, because according to the Medrash, Chana, like Sarah, that's in the Torah reading, Hashem Pochad Sarah Kasher Amai, that's the Torah reading, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and also Rachel. And Rachel, we don't read about her, her giving birth, but we do have, the psukim of, Aben Yaakov Ephraim, and Rachel's children, and so on. Anyway, but be that as it may, so the Rav said like this, he said, obviously, Chazal had a tradition that they wanted that the Shmoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah should be modeled after the Tefillah of Chana. Okay, should be modeled after the Tefillah of Chana. Memela, you only have 9 utterances of the Shem Hashem in Tefillah of Chana. So if that's the case, so they only had 9 available slots to work with. But there are 10 themes to fit in those 9 slots. Well, the only way you can accomplish that, obviously, is to combine 2 into 1. That's what the Rav suggested is the basis for this notion of not having 10 separate brachas, of combining something with something. Okay, good. Now, let's look at the Gemara. Just a couple of lines of the Gemara. And we'll get to what we really wanted to mention. Okay? Amar Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara quotes the same Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Eina tokeilo malchus lomahu mazgir. Right? That was the Gemara says was the kasha. Rabbi Akiva asked the Yochanan. Right? That was the Mishnah said, right? More quotes the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva said to the Biachan Minuri, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchus, according to you, there's no Tkiah shofar after Malchus, so what are you saying Malchus for altogether? Says the Gemara, what kind of question is that? Lama hu mazkir? Rachmana amar yidkir. Well, what do you mean? Why do you say it? Because there's a din, and you have to say Malchus on Rosh Hashanah. What kind of kasha was that? Lama hu mazkir? Rachmana amar yidkir. Okay? Rachmana amar yidkir. Now, Rachmana means the Torah. So this is a machlokas by itself as a side point. The simple reading of this Gemara is that the recitation of Malchios and Zichronos and Shofros and Roshanah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's a simple reading of this Gemara. Rachmana Amar Yidkar. So says the Gemara, the challenge of Rabbi Akiva, what kind of question was that to ask the Yechon Nuri? Well, if you're not going to blow Shofar, why are you saying Malchios altogether? What do you mean, why are you saying Malchios? Because the Torah says you have to say Malchios and Roshanah, that's why. I mean, what kind of kasha was that? It's a strange question. Now, as a side point, we don't always have to, and somebody I'm sure has done or can do a PhD study on this, all the times the Gemara say, Rachmana Omar, does it literally mean, it makes it a din d'oraisa? Or maybe it means in the colloquial language, you know, like you tell the kid, oh, the Torah says you're not allowed to turn lights on Shabbos. Well, the Torah doesn't exactly say you can't turn lights on Shabbos, right? So we use it as a, you know, sort of as a way of saying this is what's proper, this is what's improper. So you can't necessarily automatically prove from here, because the Gemara says Rachmana Amar Idkar, that automatically means it din d'oraisa. I'm just saying, you know, everyone can debate the point. In fact, it is a debate. It's a machlokas Rashi and Ramban. I'm saying this is a side point. It's actually a machlokas Rashi and Ramban whether the recitation of Malchus Zichronos and Shofros Rosh Hashanah constitutes a mitzvah d'oraisa or mitzvah d'rabbanan. Rashi in Chumash seems to imply that it's a d'oraisa. And there are rayas and gemaras like this. You could bring this gemara as a raya to other places where it says Rachash Baruch Hu said Imru Lefanai Malchus. The gemara Tes Zayin, Yud Zayin, early in the Masechta, it says Rachmon Hashem said Imru Lefanai Malchios Kadesha Tazkiyunim Vameh B'Shofar. Right. So there are ramazim like that, and Rashi assumes Malchus and Shofar is mandated midah oraisa. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban Achomish disagrees. Okay, and the Ramban has a very what seems to be a very strong raya. Ramban says, well, one second. There is a Mishnah Gemara elsewhere that talks about the following. Something will never come up nowadays. But the days before you had printing, before you had, you know, everyone had a siddur or a matzah with them, you know, many communities, as you know from history, probably didn't have, maybe there was one siddur in the whole shul, one handwritten manuscript in the whole shul. In fact, that used to be, what institution is based on that, obviously? Because those are shots, right? The chazan would say the Shemoneh Esrei out loud. If you knew it, Baal Peh, good for you. Okay, but if you didn't, so then you listen to the Chazan. That's the origins of Chazaras Hashatz. Well, let's be honest, the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, I mean, that's a long Shemon Esrei, most people don't know by heart. Okay, so then you relied on the Chazan. You had to, you couldn't say, no one knew all the Psukim and Machaz Yechon Shem's Baal Peh. Okay, it's a long Shemon Esrei, so you rely on the Chazan. The Chazan had a book, had a handwritten manuscript. So the Gemara discusses the following question. What if, again, I can't even imagine it happening today. What if I live in an area, and I live close to two towns, which are too far apart to get together, but I live in the middle. And I find out that in this town, they have a chazan with a sitter who's going to say Malchus Zichronos and Shofros. But they have no shofar over there. Whatever reason, they have no shofar over there. The other town has a shofar, okay, but they have no sitter at all. No one's going to be able to say Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, Zichronos and Shofros. Now, I live, and for whatever reason, it's too far for them to get together. But I live in the middle, so I have a choice. Which town should I go to? Should I go to the town where I'm going to hear shofar? Kiyah shofar, Rosh Hashanah. But I'm not going to hear, again, we can't even conceive of this today. But in those days, perhaps it happened. So do I go to the town where they're going to blow shofar? Okay, and forego Malchus Zichronos and Shofros? I don't know by heart, and there's no chazan there to say it, no siddur. Or do I go to the town that's got the siddur, that's got the machzor, and I'll miss Kiyah shofar? And the Gemara answers, you go to the town where they have a shofar, because, says the Gemara, Hadoraisa, Hadrabanan. Kiyah shofar is deraisa. Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, Hadrabanan. So, obviously, we like to observe all the Drabanan too. But if you're in a situation where you're stuck, you have no choice, so okay, the mitzvah deraisa wins out. So says the Gemara, you should go to the town that's got the shofar, because then you'll be kind of mitzvah deraisa, and you'll miss the mitzvah Drabanan. So says the Ramban Tarashi, checkmate. Right? I mean, how can Rashi claim that Machus and Rosh and Shofar is also the Raisa when the Gemara said Beferish Hod the Raisa Hod Rabbanon? Right? I mean, that's Ramban's principal raya against Rashi. I got to say Machus and Rosh and Shofar is as important as it is. It's only the Rabbanon, and therefore Shofar wins out. Shofar is the Raisa. You get the Kasha, right? And the good Kasha. So you know, and I've said this many times in the past, it's very rarely a checkmate in halachic discourse, right? So the Rav and many others have said the same thing, said no. Even Rashi admits that by itself Malchus and Shofar is the Rabbanon. But when you're going to have it with Kiyah Shofar, it's elevated to a Kiyam Deraisa. And as Rashi says Malchus and Shofar is the Deraisa, that means in conjunction with Kiyah Shofar. An accompaniment with Kiyah Shofar. The Malchus and Shofar is with the Shofar after each of the three brachas, that's a Deraisa. So therefore Rashi, of course, in that case, you're going to go just Malchus and Shofar by going to town A, and you're not going to Shofar, that's only Rabbanon. When do I, Rashi, claim that Kiyah Shofar is the Raisa? That's when it's with, that Malchus and Shofar is the Raisa, that's when it's with Kiyah Shofar. Therefore, there's no Raya from that Gemara. But in any event, whatever way you look at it, the Gemara here on Lamed Beis is asking against the Akiva, what kind of kasha is that to ask? Well, if you're not going to blow Shofar after Malchus, why do you say it? What do you mean, why do you say it? Because you're supposed to say Malchus and Shofar, so Moshe Shana, what is the Raisa the Rabbanon? Whatever, you're supposed to say it, it's not a kasha. Who said it's only with Kiyah Shofar? That's what Rabbi Akiva implies. That only with, and it's even everyone admits that if it's without Kiyah Shofar, at least the Rabbanon, it's not sensible for Rabbi Akiva to ask Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, if you're not going to blow Shofar after Malchus, why say it? Why say it? Because you're supposed to say it on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe only the Rabbanon, but you still have to say it. That's not a kasha. Right? Rabbi Akiva poses this as a question against Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, saying if you're not, according to you, there's no Kiyah Shofar after Malchus, why say Malchus? What do you mean why say Malchus? Because I'm Rosh Hashanah, he's supposed to say Malchus, that's why. Well, what's he got to do? Right? So the Gemara gives an answer, which is even more difficult than a question. Answers the Gemara, Ella, Lama Eser, Lema Tesha, the whole of Ishtane, period. So now here's what Rabbi Akiva meant. When Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, why are you bothering to say Malchus? He did not mean, why are you bothering to say Malchus at all. But he understood, it says in the Torah, or the Rabbanah, whichever way we look at it. Whether we mean Rachmana Amar literally or not literally, whatever it is. Of course, if Akiva knew he was supposed to say Malchus, he wasn't challenging him. What he was saying is, why say 10? Say only 9. Because Ho V'ishtani Ishtani, since it's changed for other purposes too. End of Gemara. Obviously, somewhat mystifying. Like we read that Gemara, like, whoa, what's the answer? If you look at Rashi, sadly, doesn't help us much as we expect. First thin line of Rashi, Lema Teisha, the whole of Ishtani, Malchios, Mizichronos, and Tekia, since Malchios is different than Zichronos with regard to Tekia, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Since Malchios differs from Zichronos and Shofars in that, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Malchios has no Tekia Shofar, and Zichronos and Shofars do, since it's different in that regard, so, Shane Token, but Ishtanu Name Lefachos Mehen, also you should have one less what? One less who, one less where? So what's going on here? So it means one less pasuk. Okay, our practice is we say 10 psukim. We'll get to the details momentarily. But Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying, well, if you're not going to blow shofar in Malchios, you shouldn't say 10 psukim. You should say only 9 psukim. Okay, we say 10 psukim. In Malchios, 10 psukim. When I say psukim a couple times, one pasuk, quote unquote, actually includes a few psukim in the same theme. We'll get to that in a second. But you have Malchios, Zichonos, and Shofars has 10 psukim in each. Okay, that's all those v'nemar, v'nemar, v'nemar. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, what I meant to ask you was not why do you say Malchus altogether, that I understand, you're supposed to say Malchus. What I meant was, why say 10 psukim in Malchus? You only say 9. Because since it's different with regard to the Kiyah Shofar, it should also be different with regard to the total number of psukim. Okay, is that intellectually satisfying for everybody? I mean, Shkoyach, why? What? Change regard to Shofar is also change the number of psukim. What's going on? Right, so that's where the Rav took over here. The end of the Gemara goes on to something else. Even the Rashi, they say, it just leaves us hanging a little bit. I mean, okay, so he wasn't asking, the Akiva wasn't asking Rabbi Nuri, why say psukim, why say Malchus altogether? That we understand. Of course you have to say Malchus. But he's saying, since you changed, you differentiated, would be a better word, since you differentiated Malchus from Zichronos and Shofars with regard to the Kiyah Shofar, you should also differentiate with regard to the number of psukim. Hov Ishtani? Ishtani. Why? So what's going on here? Very, very difficult. the Rav explained the following, and you know, it's pretty obvious when you think about it. Let's go through for a second the structure of Malchios, Zichonos, and Shofars. Each of those three special Rosh Hashanah brachas consists of three parts. Part one is what I call the statement of theme. Okay, statement of theme. Now let's remember, we pass in Rabbi Kiva, so immediately after Kel HaKadosh, actually Melech HaKadosh, we say the regular Kedusha Yom, like any other Musaf on Yontif, and we mention the carbon, right? But then after that, we go right into Malchus, because that's what we pass in, like Rabbi Kiva, that Malchus is incorporated into Kedusha Yom. So as soon as we finish the regular standard Musaf, okay, like any other Yontif, with the psukim of the Karbonis, and then we say Minchesim, Minchasim, Minchesim, Minchesim, Shoshas, Minchapar, Shesim, Ohio, etc. Right? Then we go into Malchus. So how does Malchus begin? With the statement of the theme. What is the statement of, what is the theme of Malchus? Obviously, because Baruch is the Melech. So the statement of theme in Malchus is two paragraphs that are familiar to us from daily davening, but actually originate here on Rosh Hashanah and were later incorporated in daily davening, so we call Aleinu. Aleinu Shabbat Ladon HaKol. Right? So what is Aleinu about? If you think about it, a lot of times we're not thinking too much about Aleinu because we're halfway out of the shul already. We say Aleinu, right? What is it? What is the bracha? Aleinu Shabbat Ladon HaKol. What's Ladon HaKol? The master of the universe, the king of the universe. And we say Anachnu Karim Yishachem Odin Lifnei Melech Malchem Lochem. Right? We're talking about Hashem is the Melech. Okay? Shuno Teshan Yosara Etzim Moshe Rekosh Ma'amel Shkid. Okay? Hu Alakenu Einod MS Malkenu. And even in the next paragraph, Al Kena Kave, it also speaks that everybody should see that you're the Melech, right? Liros Meris, Chobere Vos Yikubish Mecha, Lafnos Kovish Eretz, Yakubere Koyosh Reisev, Kilichot Tichar Kober, Tishava Kaloshon, etc., right? What is that all about? That the whole world should recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, right? That's basically what it's about. And we say, Ki HaMalchus Shalchoi, okay? What does it mean? Kavu Chulam Esol Malchus Chol. Right? Everyone should accept the Malchus. That is your statement of theme, Malchus. Okay, I remember I was told when I was a little kid, so I must have been, I guess, 6 or 7, whatever, when you first learn how to read Hebrew a little bit of the Siddur. So I remember I was in shul in Rosh Hashanah, so I had a machzor. I was reading along as best as I possibly could, you know, which wasn't too good, I guess, at that age, but whatever it was. So I'm saying the Shmoneh Esrei. I knew what the Shmoneh Esrei was. In the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, all of a sudden, there's Aleinu. And I looked back, and I thought I had a defective machzor. You know, because Aleinu was usually after the Shemana, I said, that much I knew. And here's Aleinu, I remember it. It was an old shul, my great grandmother, an old shul, that had these rows with these, I mean, you've probably seen shuls like that, or maybe not, these wooden rows, wooden pews, and the back of each pew is a little slot for the people in the row behind to put this siddur. So I remember it. I put this matzah down, I picked up a different one, and I flipped to the page, and invited Aleinu. And, you know, I couldn't ask anybody, because I'm in the middle of nothing. I just remember being very, very frustrated till, you know, years later to figure out what's going on, but at that time I was very upset. Anyway, so Aleinu appears there. That's where it comes from. By the way, the basic structure of the Shemoneh Esrei Musaf is called sometimes Kiyasa de Bei Rav, from the Amora Rav, Rav and Shmuel, Rav. Rav composer. Well, again, where he composed the exact word that we say, but the basic composition of Malchus and Shofus is the Tefillah of Rav. Okay, the Amora Rav. Anyway, first generation Amora and Baba. Right, Rav, right, the Hefer, so Rav started the Bchia, you know, Talmud of Rav Yeranasi, etc. Anyway, so Aleinu is the introductory paragraph. Later, Aleinu got appended to every davening. But that's where it comes from. What is that? That's a statement of theme. What is a statement of theme followed by? 9 psukim. I call those, just for our purpose of instruction, proof texts. Each pasuk demonstrates from Tanakh the theme that we just introduced, namely in this case, Hashem is the Melech. So you'll take a look, each one of the psukim. We have 3 psukim from Torah, followed by 3 psukim from Ksuvim, followed by 3 psukim from Navi. That'll strike your order, that seems backwards. Usually it's Torah, Navi, and Ksuvim. Yes, but all the psukim and Ksuvim happen to come from Tehillim, which chronologically, since Tehillim was composed by David HaMelech, Tehillim chronologically predated the psukim quoted from Navi. Psukim and Neviim are from the later Neviim, Neviim Achronim, so they lived later. So even though we normally think of the order as being Torah, Neviim, Ksuvim, which it is, but here, it follows the chronological order, so it's Torah, Ksuvim, Neviim. But each one of those 9 psukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Neviim, all basically cite sources from Kisra Kodesh proving the theme. Got it? That's part B. part C is, in effect, the bakasha, the request relating to the theme. And what is the request in Malchus? Elokeinu v'elokei v'seinu, meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chodecha, right? V'inos al kol ha'zbikarecha, v'ofa ba'adar v'noz al kol yoshei se'el ha'atzecha, v'yeidah kol pol ki ato p'alto, v'yovin kol yitzur ki ato yitzarko, v'yomar kol ha'shen ha'shem v'apol, ha'shem elokei so melech, v'machus v'kol m'shola. And then we go into the conclusion of the bracha, because it's still yontiv, you know, kachen v'secha, etc. And it ends, brochat ha'shem, not just mekadosh Yisrael, but because we combine Malchus. How does it end? Brochat Hashem, Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadosh Yisrael v'yom ha'zikaron, which we incorporate in the rest, and even in the Kiddush, we say Melech al kol ha'aretz. But in any event, that's the third part. So the third, again, you have your introductory paragraph or two, your proof text, nine proof texts, and then the request, then the bakasha, which starts at Elokeinu v'elokei v'seinu, and ends with the bracha relating to the theme, Brochat Hashem, Melech al kol ha'aretz, and so on. Got it? That's the basic structure. There is, however, a tenth pasuk. Now, the tenth pasuk, the Rav suggested, is really not connected to the previous nine. You have your proof text, three from each. Three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im. Okay? Now you have the tenth pasuk is in effect to back up or to support the request, the bakasha. It connects to the bakasha. Now, as we'll see momentarily, in Zichronos and in Shofars, it works out perfectly. Because in Zichronos and Shofars, that tenth pasuk, which actually is a fourth from the Torah, that's from four from the Torah in total. That tenth pasuk, the extra pasuk in the Torah, is actually in the Elokeinu v'elokei v'seinu paragraph. It's not even connected to the rest of the Ne'emar's, Ne'emar. It's a break, Elokeinu v'elokei v'seinu, blah, 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 shekemosh, and then it says a pasuk. So it's not even attached. It's clear in both Zichronos and in Shofars that extra pasuk is part of the request. In Malchus, it's less clear. In Malchus, the tenth pasuk does follow the other nine immediately. And the tenth pasuk, actually, the fourth from the Torah, and Malchus, is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Which, of course, is Malchus, because what's that pasuk? Right, that's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Right? So it fits in. But the Rav posited that really that belongs to the last, it belongs to the request. The reason it's not in there is because we say that same Elokeinu 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 also at Maariv, and at Shacharis, and at Minchas, so we don't tamper with it. But really that tenth pasuk is attached. It's not part of the cycle of the original nine. It's got to be, should be parallel to Zichronos and Shofars, where it's part of the Bakasha section. So that's why the Rav suggested, I don't know if the Chazanim all love this, but you know, a lot of times that depends with Davin, I guess, but the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, is like a crescendo. You know, it builds up, that last Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, right, and it goes, right, that's the end. So the Rav thought that you really should not do that. You should go straight from Shema Yisrael into Elokeinu v'elokei v'seinu. And so the source of Kozma Shema Yisrael Shema Yisrael Echad, Elokeinu v'elokei v'seinu goes straight without the ahs in between. So if you want to make a crescendo, maybe the previous pasuk, the last pasuk from Nevi'im, which happens by Yom Ahu Yeshem Echad Shema Echad. So I happen to be the chazan of my shul, Shoshana and Kippur, so that's what I do. And I make the crescendo, the previous pasuk, everybody goes right there. We'll pause, then you go, oh, so Shema Yisrael 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 Shema I don't know. People, you know, Chazan do all kinds of strange things. I've given the shiur my shul, yes. I don't give it every year. I'm not sure. I know that in Boston, the Rav was insistent on it, you know, in his own shul. I'm not sure what they do in the yeshiva. I can't remember. It's a long time since I've done it. But probably they do that. Rav Shechter also thinks it's right. And probably that they do it here too. Depending on the Chazan is, I suppose. But in any event, Shai didn't install me there like that. Yeah, stop. I'm sure his father told him. Anyway, be that as it may, but my point is that now you see those three. It's actually what looks like, again, growing up, it's a complicated words and all these venemars and psukim, but now it makes it perfect sense. It's a statement of theme, nine proof texts, and a bakosha. Now you move to Zichron, it's the exact same thing. The statement of theme begins, Ato zocher maseh olam ufokei koitzri kedem, lefanecha nivu kol talumos, and so on. A whole theme about what, obviously? Zichronos, because Baruch Hu is aware, remembers everything, knows everything, right? Knows every little person, every country, and so on. Okay, and then it goes into the proof texts. Nine proof texts. Three from Torah, three from Tzum, three from the Beam. All about a Kodesh Baruch Hu remembering something or other, right? Starts with Noah, and then Vayisko Elokim is Noah, and it mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Vayisko, you know, that they heard, Vayaris, Zakosam, and so on, heard them screaming, right? I mean, Zichronos, and three from Torah, three from Tzum, three from the Beam. And then the third part is the request. The request begins, again, the request also has to do the theme. So the theme is Zichronos. So what do we say in Zichronos? Elkeinu Elkei Vaseinu, Zochreinu B'Zichron Tov Lefonecha. Right? You're remembering everything, so remember our favorable things, right? V'Chten V'Chusha Z'Rachamim, right? Let your Zichron be Ma'or Rachamim. And it ends with, you know, Kato Zocher Kol Nishkochos. And we end, Baruch HaTo Hashem, Zocher HaBris. Right? We have to remember the bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? So that's the problem. That's the conclusion. Again, three sections. Your proofs, your statement of theme, your nine proof text, and then you have your request with the concluding bracha, Baruch Hashem, Zocher HaBris, on the theme. And the same thing is true in Shofars. Okay, Shofars begins, Shofars has the shortest introductory statement, okay? But it's about the Shofar, specifically the first time we have Shofar, specifically in the Chumash, is where? Har Sinai, right? I mean, yeah, Avraham Avinu with the ram, it doesn't say the word Shofar there, right? So the first time we have Shofar specifically in the Chumash is by when Matan Torah starts with that. Atani Gleis Sabalan Kvodecha Har Sinai, for reference to that. Three psukim about Shofar from Matan Har Sinai, that's in Torah. Three psukim from Ksuvim, which all have to do with Shofar and Mikdash and so on. And three psukim about Shofar from Nevi'im, Lost in Love of Ahayabana, who took up a Shofar, got all, and so on and so forth, right? And there's your nine proof text. And then you have your third section, which is the Bakasha, begins, Kenel Kerseno, Takar B'Shofar Gadol Kerseno, right? The request for the sound of the great Shofar of our redemption. And it ends, right? The Baruch HaTashem, Shomea Kol Truas Amo Yisrael Barachanim. So you see now the structure, hopefully now you see the structure of Malchus and Shofar, and it fits in beautifully. And the tenth Pasuk, as I said before, is really appended to the request section. So again, I've had the opportunity to explain this to many people. Oh, now I understand what's going on. Otherwise, just, you know, some machzorim don't print it so well. It's just, it seems like I got from my bar mitzvah, old machzor with Yiddish commentary on the bottom, which, you know, I don't read. But you know, the way it's printed, it's old-style printing. I can never know what's going on. Maybe some of the newest siddurim, machzorim, print things more clearly, divide things up in paragraphs more clearly. Even so, I think with this simple insight, that the Malchus and the Shofars have three different units to each one. Each one is the same. Okay? Introductory statement, or introductory statement of theme, proof text, and Barkasha. Now everything fits in very, very well. Now let's come back to the Gemara. So Soloveitchik said, here's what's going on here. The tenth part, now this is what Rabbi Kiva was saying to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. According to you, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, that you don't blow Shofar after Malchios, then you should only say nine psukim, not ten psukim. Our Soloveitchik suggested again, remember the 10th Pasuk is not really part of the proof text. The 10th Pasuk is what? Is part of the request, part of the Bakasha. The 10th Pasuk bolsters the Bakasha. So says the Rav the following, here's what he was saying. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri have Kiyush Shofar after Malchus? I mean, combined with Kiddush HaShem, fine, so what? Why? And he had Kiyush Shofar after Kiddush HaYom. That's a little strange. Kiddush HaYom is a regular Musaf bracha. We say it every Shabbos, every other Yontif, okay, every other Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. Kiyush Shofar should have been, even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he could have had Kiyush Shofar after Malchus. So what? It was combined with Kiddush HaShem. Said the Rav the following. We need to understand what is Kiyush Shofar. Right? I'm sure he drops about this in Shurim. What is Kiyush Shofar? Everybody understand. Kiyush Shofar is a form of Tefillah. Right? Kiyush Shofar is a wordless prayer. Right? That's really what it is. It's a Tefillah. Think about it for a moment. The mere fact that we do it in the middle of Shema Esrei, some people even in the second Shema Esrei, isn't that weird? What other mitzvahs do we do? We don't wave the lulav in the middle of Shema Esrei on Sukkot. We don't eat matzah on Pesach in the middle of Shema Esrei. Okay, Hanukkah. We don't light Hanukkah in the middle of Shema Esrei. It'd be a hafsek, right? There's nothing we do in the middle of Shema Esrei. That Birchas Kohanim is a separate story. Okay, but other than that, it would be a hefsek even to the biggest mitzvah. We don't put on tefillin in the middle of Shema Esrei. We don't do anything in the middle of Shema Esrei. Ma pitom, this came back to Israel. So ma pitom, that on Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar, especially if you hold, you blow it in the south ones. But even the Chazor Shatz, can you imagine? We're going to stop the Chazor Shatz now, and we're going to read the Megillah. Well, it wouldn't happen. It's in the middle of the Shema Esrei. It's an important mitzvah. Then it's an important mitzvah. Two, you know, should exist side by side, but not together. And the answer is, why is it not a hefsek? Because it is a form of tefillah. Tekiyah Shofar is not a hefsek in tefillah because it goofah is tefillah. Tekiyah Shofar is a form of tefillah. Sometimes, most of the time, our tefillahs take the form of words, okay? But sometimes, almost as if we could spend a lot of time talking about this, and I don't want to take your time now, but sometimes it's almost as if we say that because, bro, I don't even know what to say anymore. I can't even find the right words. You ever had that experience speaking to somebody important, maybe an interview with somebody you respect very much, and, you know, you can't even find the right words? Right? Sometimes we tell our kodesh bar, I can't find the right words. So shofar, we call out, we scream. And there are many, many rises to this. Okay, well, one very briefly. You know, the Gemara says, the Gemara says, the shofar, when we pass it, shofar has to be bent. Right? We don't blow a horn. Some animals have straight horns. You know, shofar is supposed to be bent. Why? It's supposed to be symbolizing a person bent over in tefillah. What's it got to do? I don't know. You have a bent lulav too. We're not allowed to have a bent lulav. So, what's it got? The answer is because shofar is part of tefillah. Right? Even the lashon of shomea tefillah, shomea kultura, it's very similar. But in any event, there are many rishis, so I'm not going to take time from now. The point is, important rishis. But tekiyas shofar is a form of tefillah. That's why. Now, if it's a form of tefillah, it's a bakasha, it's a request, we're calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have a general rule that we don't make bakashas in the first three brachas of the Shemana Esrei. Right? So even a shalom et zochein l'chaim. Okay? Because the second one, Micha Mocha, is not a brocha, it's just a shevach. Micha Mocha, Avarachim, it's not a request, I mean, it's just a shevach. Micha Mocha, Avarachim, Zochei, Tzul, L'chaim, Barachim. Zochein L'chaim is a kasha. Okay, so, well, it's a communal brocha, whatever. We don't make requests in the first three brochas. Masha Baruch Hu Negesh is not a request either. It's a statement that comes brocha is a power to. What's the request for rain? That's later, that's a Saint Talamota. Right, the request for rain is not Masha Baruch Hu. That's a statement that Baruch Hu has the power to do. So we don't make bakashas in the first, that's a general rule. You've heard that rule. The general rule, we don't make bakashas in the first three brachas of Shemana Esrei. So the Rav posited that this is what's going on in this Gemara. Rav Akiva says, according to you, Rav Yochanan Nuri, why didn't you put shofar after Malchios? It was, you combine Malchios with Hashem, right? So what? So why can't you have Tekiyas shofar after that? The answer is because Tekiyas shofar is like a personal petition. And we don't make bakoshas in the first three brachas. Memela, that's what it means. The tenth pasuk, we demonstrated, is also bakosha. The tenth pasuk is incorporated to the bakoshas. Memela now, Rabbi Kiva's statement to Yochanan makes perfect sense. If you're going to change, if you're going to differentiate Malchus from Zichonos and Shofar, in that there's no Tekiyas Shofar, because it's in the first three brachas and there are no bakashas there, then you should only say nine psukim. The proof text, that's fine. But you should not say a bakasha. The tenth pasuk is a bakasha. The bakasha shouldn't be said for the same reason you're not blowing shofar. Now, the Gemara statement makes perfect sense. Ella, loma eser, lema tesha. The whole mishtani. Now, according to the Rav suggesting, makes perfect sense. We keep it saying, you were Bilchon Nuri, you should only have 10, you shouldn't have 10 psukim. And who knows, maybe he didn't. Okay? Maybe he only had 9 psukim. We have no record. But that was the kasha. Now the kasha makes sense. You're differentiating between shofar and between Malchus on one hand and Zichron Shofar on the other hand, in that Malchus doesn't get the key of shofar because according to you it's in the third bracha. So shouldn't have bakasha either. The whole of Kenneth was saying, the 10th pasuk, the extra pasuk, the extra Torah pasuk, 10th pasuk, which we said, which we showed was the text, but rather was part of the bakasha, that also shouldn't be. That's how the Rav learned this Gemara. I think it's an ingenious interpretation. More than that, it gives us, you know, insight into the structure. I'll just end by noting that, you know, we're familiar with the Rambam. He has 13 Ikari Emuna. Okay? The Yud Gimel Animamins and so on. You know, 13 Ikari Emuna. Yosef Albo was a great medieval Jewish philosopher. Kind of broke him down to three. He says there are three Ikari Emuna. Okay, three. One is Metzias Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God. Okay. The second thing is the notion of Schar Va'Onesh, that God is aware of what's going on in the world, and He, you know, rewards and punishes accordingly. And the third is Gilui Shechina. So I think the Rav pointed this out as well, I'll just say it too, that Malchus, Zichos, and Shofars really highlight those three very basic core Jewish beliefs. Malchios, the Hashem is a Melech, right? Metzias Hashem, there's a God in the world. Right, there's a God who created the world. There's a Melech HaOlam, right? That's Malchus. Zichronos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything, remembers everything. That's the basis for the whole concept of, you know, I don't like the word reward and punishment. I'm not saying I have a better word, but reward and punishment, I prefer consequences. You know, the action of consequences. Not to speak of, it's not a reward. Reward is like something extra, you know, consequences. And not everything that happened is a punishment. I always give an example. If a little kid comes, a baby crawls and sticks his finger into a socket, he's going to get an electric shock, right? But baby touches a hot frying pan, he's going to scald his hand. So he said, that's not fair. Why should we punish? He didn't know any better. It's not a punishment. It's a consequence. It's a result, right? Not everything bad that happens is a punishment. The baby touches the hot thing, he's going to burn his hand. It's not fair. He didn't do anything wrong. Okay, that's a consequence. So I prefer to. But anyway, that's another discussion. But that's what Zichronos is. Zichronos is a reflection of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what's going on in the world, and there are consequences to what we do. Our actions matter. And shofars, if you think about it, what is shofar? It is Gilui Shechina. Shofar, in all three prominent mentions of shofar that we stress in shofar, stress that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to the world. The three psukim in Torah speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation in Har Sinai, right? That's divine revelation. The three psukim from Ksuvim refer to the Mikdash. Bachatzos is called shofar, really, if not Melech Hashem, right? That's in the Mikdash. Shofar was prominent in the Mikdash. That's also a place of Gilui Shekhinah. And Lasid Lavo, right? The time of Mashiach. Haber shofar galoch harisena. There'll be a shofar that will once again herald Gilui Shekhinah. So these three principal beliefs, core beliefs, Rosh Hashanah is a day for among other things, of sort of reinforcing our core beliefs. So that's what Malchus Yechon Shofar is all about. Yeah.
Didn't the
pasuk which by Rabbi Shofar in the Navi, it has to be the second ketubim, it has to be a pasuk regarding shofar if they change it. They're not that pasuk regarding Kol Chatzotros. That's pasuk regarding Chatzotros. They need a pasuk regarding shofar.
The pasuk from
the pasuk that's quoted from the Torah, the extra pasuk of Bakasha section, doesn't mention shofar. It says, so the Rav made a number of changes. I don't remember now that was. He made a different one also. In Zichronos also. See, you have to look in Nefesh HaRama, I believe the Rosh Hashanah quotes some of them in Hagim. In fact, the Machzer, there's a Machzer that was put out. I happen to be one of the editors of that. You've seen it, the Machzer, I think it's something Arab. Machzer Arab or something like that, that they published a few years ago, one for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So I remember I collected all of them in Hagim, the idol about whatever. Not only me, but I was one of the editors. We put together. I don't remember a change in Shokubi. They had another pasuk also. There's some pikpuk. Look, the Gemara is on this page, on the very bottom, going over to Amid Beis. The Gemara has different psukim, what kind of psukim you allow to use. I don't remember offhand all the alterations. Could be. Yeah.
I was also wondering in Alenu. I know this is not directly.
Say it again.
In Alenu.
Yeah.
Is this proper to bow? I don't think the Master says to bow during.
I think we do bow. Even during the Sal Shmeser, you mean?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, according to that, the only Gaon that says you're only supposed to bow. The Gaon didn't like extra bowing other than those places where it actually said. But I think the Minigas do, certainly in the Chazor Shah, the Korah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Chaz, I think so. What do you do?
The Master doesn't say the bow.
Don't remember. Well, you do. I do. Okay, so Mitzvah will have regular Shia tomorrow. I just want to give this insight into the Shofish and the Rav, and I want you to have a good day. And I apologize again for all the change in venue and time and everything. We'll get back to normal soon. Okay.
Tomorrow
is regular shiur. Tomorrow regular shiur. Back in our regular shiur. And what happened to the shiur?
I think
this year. Now, when does it be valued? Right? Is that the Sunday schedule?
In terms of like what everyone else thinks, we can do it every
I said also like Monday. I know there's this Yom Yom or something. Give shiur. I'll talk about that. I'll find. I don't want to do anything against the. All right. Here's this is a. Hi, thanks. I don't know, they tell me to record everything. So you know how to record that way. Giovanni.